You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
I am JD from How It Stacks, and I'm here to give you a little bit of foresight into our show.
This is correct.
Professor Willis and I and the Bulldog tend to get a little carried away and excited about our topics, and we can use a little language that might not be suitable for work. So this is a forewarning for all you listeners out there in magical internet land that we do use language like
F
and B
and C
and D.
And what's left?
I don't know, but we use variations of all of those.
Okay. So
for those out there with sensitive ears and listening land, this is a forewarning. We use language on the show.
Bitches.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to How It Stacks. I'm JD.
I'm Willis.
And I'm Bulldog.
We are about to record a new episode.
Yeah. Nice save there.
You like that?
Yeah, it was a nice save.
We're already recording.
Well, yeah.
I didn't say it was a great save. I said it was a nice save. Yeah.
I froze. You know, it's been a couple weeks since we've done this, and I froze. You know, I choked under the pressure. Yeah. So there's that, which is unusual.
It has been a really long time since we've done this.
Well, I'm actually
not to the listeners.
Not to the listeners, but it's been a while. I wasn't sure. I thought it might have been a while for the listeners too.
we're actually recording this the week we should have published an episode.
It's fine.
It might have been last week.
It's fine.
To explain away, I'll go first. I've been super busy, so...
What?
Yeah. No.
Never. You mean that we are doing things other than the show?
This isn't the only thing we do with our lives? Right, make money
let
places?
Us correct. Yeah. Yeah. If you start paying us to do this show, I guarantee goddamn to you we'll never be late.
Yeah, right.
But back to your story.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I've actually started in the last, it's probably the last month and a half, so since we stopped, since we did our last recording, starting to get into some more creative endeavors that are paying gigs, so that's cool.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. I do want to say this to totally brown nose you up, is that you're very good at this and in other mediums like this, and to see you being successful in those avenues is cool, man. I mean, that's it's awesome. Good
thank
to
you.
Hear.
Thank you.
You know, so that's good stuff, man.
Yay, that said, Jared. If you're local to the Mobile and Baldwin County areas and need any video and or audio work, feel free to reach out.
But Yay, Bulldog. Yeah, he'll record your face.
We have a new ad.
We'll just record a parody version of Hey Bulldog by the Beatles.
Yeah.
Hey Bulldog.
I almost went to Eagles. Why don't you come to your senses? Quit doing How It Stacks because it doesn't pay anything.
This is a labor of love.
Yeah.
Hold on.
That's a really polite way to say free.
Yeah. No, dude. This is an experiment for your demo reel.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. It's the way I can get every cuss word of it imaginable just in audio format.
Yeah,
so I can use it later.
Yeah, this is editing experience for your audio journal.
Yeah.
Is that the way, do you use that same kind of word magic when you explain to movie people why you do this?
Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Oh man, I'm sorry, I've got to get back to Alabama. We've got to wrap my shooting today because I've got to get back to Alabama and talk about something nerdy for an hour.
I gotta talk about, do you think Voltron could fuck a Transformer? We're talking about that.
Like against its will.
Against its will. Form blazing cock. That's right. We're there already.
Where's Crack's purple Voltron?
The purple Voltron.
Yeah, where's the purple lion?
The one that doesn't come out enough because there's only one girl. All right, so anyway, back to you.
I wanted to appease our audience and let them know why it's been more than a normal 2 week span. So we've all been busy. I've been creating new content that's paid. So sorry.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean that's what we want, man. Yeah.
I have been balls to the wall for like the last 2.5 months straight.
For what reason?
Well,
do share.
Pawpaw's Medicine Cabinet. We've been getting radio play. We just had a meeting with a really, really cool, very, very successful producer the other day. I probably shouldn't mention his name, so I'll have to tell you that guy's on the break.
Sure.
But, he's recorded with some very big, very recognizable names.
Can we hear the recognizable name? I don't know what that word was, but the names?
Recognizable?
Well, that's the word. If you mention more than one, it probably would narrow that down.
Yeah. Well, okay, this won't narrow it down because fucking everybody's played with this guy. But
is it Rick Rubin?
He worked with Greg Allman for a long time.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So that narrows it down to about 3,000 people.
Yeah, if they've had a career longer than 10 years, chances are.
Yeah, but now we had a really good meeting over there. I think we're gonna record the record at his studio, and I am fucking stoked about
that. That's nice, man. Congrats.
The website and the Facebook page have been freaking exploding.
Oh, speaking of which, though, people listening should be able to hear one of those tracks in our show break.
As a matter of fact, I have an announcement about that too.
No, oh, okay.
As of the day before today, which is the day that this episode was recorded,
what the hell does that mean?
All of the music that is on our first demo is free to download on our website.
That's cool, man.
So during the show break. If you enjoy that in any slight respect, go download the rest of it.
Go check it out.
Do it anyway.
It's a good band, and we've been getting a lot of good press.
Pawpaw's Medicine Cabinet, delivering music to your soul.
It's going really, really well. I've been blessed with too much fucking work.
That's good, man.
Well, now I won't say too much. I won't say too much, but I've adequate.
Yeah, there you go.
I've got between that and the school and... all of the other stuff that goes along with launching a band, I have been just crazy busy. I've managed to go see two really awesome shows in the last couple of months, though. I went and saw Lagwagon last night. I had to put on my hoodie because
in this wonderful 75 degree cool weather.
Yeah, it's a thin hoodie. It's a thin hoodie.
It's but, a summer hoodie.
My wife showed me a picture from last year at the zombie run that we tried to film anyway. Yeah. That never came out. she showed me a picture, a screenshot of a, like one of those Facebook, like this time last year things.
Yeah.
It was 31 degrees.
Dude, it was fucking frigid when they had that run.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And it's like 75 outside right now. And I'm like, there's something wrong. Like,
So I went and saw Lagwagon yesterday, fucking killer punk rock show. It pales in comparison to last week. I went and saw John Cleese and Eric Idle from Monty Python, and that was fucking incredible.
If I can sound hipster, I'm kind of jelly.
Hipsters actually don't use that word.
Oh, so it's just me? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That would actually not qualify you as it.
Sweet.
Well, yeah.
You could go, that sounds stupid.
And JD is the authority.
It's true.
out of all of us,
he's got the stash and everything.
I do believe that I have the most expertise in the hipster area right now.
I'm telling you, you got the thick black glasses, you got the beanie on, you got the muscle tee, the oversized shoes, the mustache. You were really pushing that hipster thing hard.
The bright colored hoodie that's purple. It's over there. I'm gonna wear it at the break. The sling bag. It's not even a book bag.
Have you got mustache wax in your pocket?
I've thought about it.
Yeah.
You know, Vicky thinks I should go full handlebar on it. I might do it toward the end of the month. I mean, it's No Shave November, so that's a good segue, the stash, into what I've been doing.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you for this.
Does it have to do anything with November or not shaving?
I'm keeping it because of No Shave November.
Oh, okay.
I got it because of something else.
Oh, okay. Well, do tell.
Awesome. I recently I've actually been, this has been a fairly busy couple months for me in for film and my acting stuff. And I literally have, I booked a project in August. I told you guys about it, the Holden Patterns film. And I actually was asked to audition for a pilot presentation here in Mobile. And I got it. And I shot it. It was with Adam Hirschman and Joe Hursley.
Is this the
you're welcome
the one you were telling me
about? Thank you. Yeah, it was. We were trying to get them on the show. They we were on set. We were talking about it. They were visiting family, so they weren't able to come do it. I totally get it. Totally cool.
Wait, so they live around here?
They have like an aunt or something, you know, in town, or you know. But
cool.
They were only here for I think 3 days, and they were action packed from morning to night.
Adam Hirschman.
It's Adam Hirschman and Joe Hersley.
Okay. Yeah, Adam Hirschman was one of those names I didn't recognize it until you showed me his picture.
Yeah, he's.
And you showed me his picture. So, I was like, "Fuck yeah, that guy's great."
Dude, they're fucking. They're both hysterical as shit. So anyway, I play a character in the pilot. I was called Goat. I was a helicopter pilot. I flew a tour helicopter, you know, and that's kind of what the premise is we're these tour companies. Anyway, I don't want to get too far into it, but yeah, it was a pilot shot here in Mobile. My character had the cliche, you know, like handlebar type mustache, so I had to shave the beard down for the mustache, and due to some conversations on set, I was convinced to keep it, and then No Shave November came around. I still have it.
So. Well, you know, I was about to say No Shave November, you know, that counts for your jawline too.
It's coming back. Yeah. It's coming back, but it's actually Movember, and it's supposed to be a stash from if I remember. I've what? Never
no,
actually
no, no, no. You're thinking of Mustache March.
Is it Mustache? Yeah, they're both for
testicular cancer awareness.
I've never researched No Shave November. I just did it because I don't like shaving.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason why I did it. But yeah, man, I mean, you know, it's so cool to hear that we're being successful in our respective passions I love how it stacks, and this is a huge part of my life, you know, and for me to not be able to do it because like the acting thing is going off, and for you to be busy with music, and for you, Jared, to be like involved in media as much as you are. I mean, it's really, really cool. So, it's awesome to see kind of where we were. I remember when we first recorded Voltron and where we're at then and where we're at now. And it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so, right.
Kudos to us. But we do have a show to do. And without further delay, is it ado? Is that a word?
Yeah, it's further ado.
Without further ado.
I've heard it said ado, but I don't know if it's like ado. Like, is it A-D?
No, it's A-D-O. It's one word.
A-D-O?
Yeah.
That doesn't even make fucking sense.
Yeah. Much ado about nothing.
I've never heard much to do about nothing.
Dude, you need to go look up Much Ado About Nothing on Netflix. It's a Joss Whedon short shot in his backyard with all of his favorite people. It's awesome.
Okay, so I know that's not true because I wasn't invited.
think all the people from Firefly and some of the people from Buffy.
Okay.
Yeah. Doing Much Ado About Nothing in his backyard.
It sounds too good to be true.
It's amazing.
It sounds awesome.
It sounds glorious.
Done in...
It was actually... It reminds me a little bit of a movie that Scotty did. Scotty White, our Native American pop culture spirit guide.
He redid his name. I think he's...
Is it something else now?
I don't remember. It's Scotty.
I think it's... I think he narrowed it to pop culture. It used to be Internet Spirit Guide.
That's right. He did pop culture. Way to go. Professor.
Native American Pop Culture Spirit Guide. I think. Or Pop Culture Native American Spirit Guide.
And you can find Scotty on the Mopcast Network.
Anyway, he did a film for a film scramble around town like a year or two ago. And the premise of the film was the zombie apocalypse has happened, and one of these guys, one of the survivors, is trying to recreate all of his favorite movies with walkers.
That sounds amazing.
That was the project for the film Scramble, and Scotty's movie was Ben-Hur.
Nice.
Yeah. So he's got this it's movie within a movie kind of thing, and there's this guy, he's dressing up different zombies as different characters in Ben-Hur, you know, doing the chariot race and everything. It was just what that story just kind of reminded me of that film.
That sounds glorious.
It was awesome. It was really funny.
Dude,
and I think it was a silent film too.
I'll have to look for it or have him send us a link. So I do want to watch
that. Yeah, Scotty, send that to us.
Do it now, Scotty.
Have to see that.
Now. Or we'll text you after this is done and then get it, and then we'll act like we've seen it on the next episode.
In the immortal words of Arnold Schwarzenegger, do it now!
Why did you get to do the voice?
Because you always do the fucking voice.
I haven't done it in seasons.
Yeah, you know what?
I don't know about seasons.
Yeah.
Maybe episodes.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Oh, yeah. We've really got to get
it. Maybe episodes.
I feel like we're just catching up because we hadn't seen each other in a while. So tell me about your day.
What are you talking about?
How long has it been now? How long has it been now? Like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
We've literally just... Well, we do have a lot more to talk about this week.
Yeah. It's been a... We're catching up, dude. People want to know. Believe it or not, like the hot points that people like on our show or the stuff that we talk about that's not actually on topic, which is good news because we're never on topic.
Yeah.
It's fucking excellent stuff.
So maybe every week we should just pick a random topic and be like, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
How
it's no experience.
We're basically...
But that's what we're talking about.
Well, that's kind of what we're doing. Not today. I mean, we did do some experience with this.
We did some research. It's
been
like a little while.
I feel like it's necessary, especially for a topic like this, though.
Yeah, you can't do this right before.
Have we said what the topic is yet?
Oh, no.
I think we should probably do that.
Look out!
Boom, boom, boom.
Fear not, stranger. I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
Rum-ta-tum-ta-ta, the DM is a douche.
That was the worst intro ever.
You know what? You're the worst intro ever.
I meant your part, not the actual intro.
Okay, agreed. Okay. That was awful. Yeah. I was very off key.
Maybe I should.
And we're sitting next to a vocal instructor.
Maybe I should cut it out.
Huh? Yeah.
Nothing?
Don't edit anything out. They want the natural shit. And we're back off topic again.
Ta-tum, the DM is a douche.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. We've blue balled it for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Dungeons and Dragons is...
Yeah, it was starting to feel a little bit like that the misfire on the Zelda episode, you know, where we kept... Oh, this thing is...
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah. You know.
Okay, so that was a good idea on paper.
It's a great idea on paper.
We are never supposed to talk about that ever again.
Yeah. That's okay.
Okay.
So Dungeons and Dragons is the quintessential... tabletop RPG. And for those of you not familiar with what a tabletop RPG is...
Otherwise known as those with girlfriends.
Yeah, those with girlfriends. That's very good. Or those without virginities.
No.
Anyway, so a tabletop RPG is basically what it sounds like. You play a RPG, a role-playing game, on a table with pen and paper and dice. Very similar to, you know, an RPG or a JRPG that you would play on a console. However, you are actually becoming that character and interacting with it in your own imagination and throughout a story being told by a dungeon master. This game was...
Or a game master. If
or
a
game master.
It
depends.
Game.
I mean, it's the DM, GMs, the storyteller. It's all the same thing. Basically... To play the game, there are sets of rules that come in the guidebooks and the player's handbooks and things like that, but the overall story is told by the Dungeon Master Storyteller or the Game Master in Dungeons & Dragons. It's the Dungeon Master.
Yeah. He writes the story, you play the story.
Yeah, he writes the... It's a little different than that, as he is the storyteller. Telling your story as a character. Does that make sense?
But they've got predetermined things that can happen.
Well, basically they write an outline.
Yeah,
like these are the things that I want. They basically come up with a bullet point list, and you as the player interact with that world and either make those things happen or those things don't happen.
Well, it's a lot closer to a book that would be like a choose your own adventure book.
That's a very good example.
So it's still an author, but the reader or player in this case still has a lot of input into how the story unfolds and the end result.
Yeah.
In a way that video games have never replicated.
The closest comparison to those style of games that I can think of off the hand would be like the Elder Scrolls series, which is... You create a character. You're in this environment. There's these storylines that are out there that you can experience.
The overarching thing doesn't... I mean, it's... I've never gotten the sense in a video game, that I got out of playing D&D where the DM got pissed because you just did something that he didn't expect.
Oh, no, I was about to say I've seen that.
In a video game.
Oh yeah,
in a video game, I've never gotten the thing where because you've got a... In a video game, you have
a
bunch of
people. Because
a
computer can't get pissed.
Well, but no, but people create.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah. But people create the game.
Doom, 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 doom.
Shoot, doom, doom, doom. No, but people create the video game. So, I mean, they're in theory, they yeah. could, they could, not that you would, but they could create an ending that really just is like, well, F you for playing the game that way. Fine. Yeah. You want to play this way? Fine. Here's your ending.
Well, here, but the only thing on that is in those style of RPGs, if you go into areas that you're not supposed to, it's not GM smiting or DM smiting, which is a term we'll break down real quick. A GM smite
is when they break it down very, very intentionally quickly.
Get pissed off at you and do something to hurt your kid.
No, not even.
But in Skyrim, in those RPG style games, if you go in areas that they don't want you in yet, you get destroyed.
No, like, I meant like
happened to me in Destiny once.
Too. Yeah,
the closest
Destiny is a good example of that. Like they very much like it, it's, and I don't, I'll let you just a second.
All right, Kanye.
I'm gonna let you finish. I tell that to my wife. I'm gonna let you finish. That's inaccurate. We don't have those conversations. But Destiny is a good example of that, where you like you can go to certain zones. The bad guys are so overpowered that you will get you just. There's no chance that you're gonna progress.
Fallout has that.
Yeah, I mean, the Death Claws are a great example.
They always kill you. I don't care how powerful you are.
You should see my Fallout 3 character.
I hate you so much.
He's pretty badass.
Anyway, what I was trying to say...
You should see my Warm Age, man.
There are instances where...
Silas level 21, fucking monster.
Geez. There are instances in games, let's say Skyrim is a really good example. On purpose or on accident, you can do things ahead of time that screw the game up.
Agreed.
Yeah. I would call those glitches.
But
that's the closest to the analogy I can come. But what I'm talking about is more of, it's more current research. But playing, you do something that the DM goes, effing, hey, I didn't think you guys would be able to kill that dude. Or I didn't think you'd be able to get through that scenario the way you did.
Yeah.
And now it has to go a completely different path that he totally didn't imagine.
Great. And that's one of the reasons why I really wish that our DM, Nick, was here on the show with us, is because he's one of those guys who's done DMing and GMing a lot.
Yeah.
And he could speak, you know, knowledgeably on how irritating that is. And I, you know, when I was running Vampire for you guys, which I'm sure we'll talk about on and off.
It's going to be like all of the tabletops that we've played are going to be talking
when we
about
played Vampire the Masquerade, you know, I would put together all these things and I would try to gear you guys toward it, or I would set up several things to be done that are about, you know, set up several tasks for you to complete and let you do them in whatever order you wanted to do, and adjust the difficulty of those tasks as you went along.
Yeah.
You know, just throw in more enemies for you to fight or whatever.
Dungeons and Dragons and tabletop RPGs are an ever evolving story.
Yeah,
right.
It's like choose your own adventure, where not only do you choose your own adventure, you write your own adventure.
Exactly, and the player has just as much impact on the story in Dungeons and Dragons and tabletop RPGs as the DM does too. So to continue, yeah. So the game you when you play Dungeons and Dragons, you obviously will sit down, you pick out anywhere from your race, the type of character that you are, from like a mage to a warrior to a barbarian to a ranger. Half elf, druid. I mean, whatever your mind can come up with, you can be in Dungeons and Dragons. That was a large appeal to it back in the ancient times. And you
the 70s?
I think was
it 60s?
I'm trying to see.
None of us were born, so you'll have to excuse us.
This isn't the factoid part of the episode. That's next half of the show, so we can be as wrong as we want now and just correct ourselves later.
I like this plan.
Retcon.
Yeah,
comic books do it all the time.
See, it was. Next part. 1977 next part. Is the first thing.
Did you not just hear what we just said?
Yeah, next half.
Well, I'm not sure that's accurate.
Gosh.
We'll look that part
we'll
up.
Keep looking up. We could still be wrong.
So Dungeons & Dragons, and what made it such a draw for people, and it's still today, is the fact that you can be involved in a story, live a fantasy. You know, you can take on this role of a character and play in this game, in this universe, and almost live a separate life type scenario. You can take on my first character in Dungeons and Dragons. I was actually 20 something when I first started playing, but I do remember the hype growing up, and I had little tiny figures. My parents bought me a Dungeons and Dragons like game, and they're like, they don't think they had any idea of how to play it,
right?
Because they're like, I had no idea how involved it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, here, have this game and play by yourself.
Like, yeah,
that's not how it
I
works.
I don't know if you guys know what's happening. And
that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah, but it's I don't like to call gaming or escapes, right? I don't think my life is so
it
shitty.
It can be used
it
that
very
way.
Much can be.
Right.
I personally try and avoid that verbiage. It's a philosophy thing personally. Like, I don't think that my life is so shitty that I need escapes to run away from things. But these things are enjoyable because they relax. And as an actor, like, it's cool to take on different roles of characters and interact with the universe. And I mean, it's a good practice. But these things are great. You sit down, you roll out a character. You literally roll out a character. You take dice and you roll out your stats, and those are the stats that you use to progress the game. You pick feats that your character can be really good at, two-hand fighting and or bows or spell casting. I mean, it's an incredible game.
At least, for a specific type of person.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the hype, though. I mean, that was what it was about, like, growing up. And yeah. It scared people because you had to pretend to be a sorcerer. And,
right.
I mean, I can't tell you how many times I heard, oh, you play Dungeons & Dragons? Especially at churches. Holy hell.
Yeah, well, there was a huge backlash back in the 90s against D&D.
I think it started earlier than that.
Yeah, I think it was earlier.
I think it was starting in the 80s.
The first time I remember it was when I was playing it, which you know, I might have been 10, 11 years old, maybe.
Really? You started that young?
Yeah. I started it really young.
You sound like he's talking about drugs. You're like, dude, you started that young?
Well, I didn't get introduced to tabletop RPGs until my 20s, but I damn sure remember the hype, the conversations, the negativity around D&D. That was a huge part of why I didn't play D&D.
I haven't mentioned this. I haven't played until I was an adult like that. Yeah. I don't have any childhood research to go off of.
And that's fine. I mean, like,
the sad part is mine's closer to what you remember until you were 20, and mine didn't start till I was 30.
Honestly,
not that I actually thought it was full of actual sorcery and being able to.
I think the LARPing side of Dungeons and Dragons, role playing.
Yeah. So that's where you play these games in real life.
Yeah.
You swing a stick around and pretend it's a sword and
exactly beat the shit out of your friends.
Never break character.
Throw rocks at people. Magic missile.
No, that was that a rock or was that actually
Roman candle? Actual like foam things, and we're doing the LARPing a very disservice and unjust comments because it's not
when done correctly or I should say
safely
when done
is a good word.
Let's do safely. I'll take safely. It's more like a war reenactor. Thank you. Yeah. We live in South Alabama. Blakely State Park is the location of the last.
We just pissed off every war reenactment person ever.
Well, no.
Those are the type of people who would not want to be compared to Dungeons and Dragons.
Just LARPing in general, not necessarily Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, no, I was talking about
But reenactactments are LARPing.
It is live action
role playing.
It is.
They literally are LARPing.
I'm just saying that if you said that to
some of the people that did it, they would probably try to punch you in the face.
If we had listeners,
I would block them with my plus two defense.
If we had listeners who were battle reenactment. Participants.
Yeah,
and we haven't.
Which I don't think we do.
If we haven't pissed them off yet,
it's coming.
We just did.
So you heard it here first. Battle reenactors are LARPers.
So I think
it's the same thing.
American culture is not very accepting of new things or things that we don't quite understand, and especially in the pop culture sense, right? And something like Dungeons and Dragons, which is, you know, deities and different gods and things like that, it caused a lot of negative hype to surround the game, steering a lot of people away. I mean, there's still a negative connotation to it. I mean, I'm 30-something, 30. Oh, shit, I'll be 32 next
month.
That's the other
thing is there were always rumors of this game. Same thing with, you saw it when Harry Potter came out.
Yeah, the whole witchcraft. I mean, come on.
Yeah, dude. All the witchcraft and stuff like that. And it gets blamed for stuff that it's not doing. Same thing with...
music does that same thing.
Music did it. I think it was Judas Priest went to court for the subliminal messages thing.
I personally don't think Marilyn Manson's music has killed anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Except Marilyn Manson.
Or my ears.
Marilyn Manson's music has killed one thing.
What?
Marilyn Manson's career.
I actually kind of like
I think he's still making music, bro.
I'm sure
he actually played a Halloween show at the Hard Rock in Biloxi.
I say all this, and you know, if
you would give your left nut to play the Hard Rock in Biloxi.
Maybe the left one. The right one's the good one.
Oh my god, it was like Scrubs. Oh my god, when Turk lost a nut.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
But there were actually two cases, and I was going to read up a little bit more on it. But there was a guy named James Dallas Egbert III.
If that's not a D&D player, I don't know who
he
is.
Oh, yeah, no, he is indeed. He is indeed. James Dallas Egbert III. He was rumored to have gone into a psychotic episode. I'm going to read a little bit more about it on the break.
Yeah, we'll do the second half one for this.
But the facts of the story were turned into a book called Mazes and Monsters, and that book later got turned into a TV movie. The game was also blamed for a guy named Chris Pritchard, who murdered his stepdad. That's the thing, is it just gets pinned on this kind of shit.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you know, like heavy metal music and punk rock gets the same kind of thing. You see it out of like video games, anything that's popular that has to do with any kind of a cult.
I think the problem is, we're like way off topic, but.
We're not.
Yeah, you're right.
No. I think he's about to lead us astray.
I felt like it was going to be very philosophical.
It's a warning.
But the problem is when you look at these mediums and these avenues for release and things like that, it's people have to blame something for the terrible things that happen in our world. And oftentimes it's the things that are easy to, you know, like we look at a video game with violence, we're like, it's that! You know, goddamn Grand Theft Auto, you're responsible for this, or Dungeons and Dragons, or music, in actuality, it's just we are dark in nature, and that's where those things stem from. It's not Dungeons and Dragons, it's not music, it's not video games. It's just human nature has evolved to where we just do fucked up shit to each other, and it's so sad. But whatever, that's just how we've you know come to be. But there was
I sort of get it, but I rolled you a diplomacy check and you got an 18, so I'm just gonna go with it.
And to be honest, you know, you got to listen to this quote. I mean, as humans, we're not meant to kill. We don't have fangs. We don't have claws. We don't have armor. It's against our nature.
You sound like such a fucking hippie right now.
it is, man. We weren't designed to kill one another. Unfortunately,
front teeth are sharp,
but we're really good at it.
We are really fucking good at killing.
I'm not proud of that fact.
It's depressing,
but
man.
My goodness, we're good at it.
People don't, you know, people don't use claws and teeth to kill people.
We just use
people use brains to kill people.
We use brains. That's you got it work, bitch.
Yeah.
And nobody gets that besides like me and like Nick. He'll listen to this show. Little Dicky, he's a rapper, and like what? I'll play you.
Wait, did
song.
You say his name was Little Dicky?
Little Dicky. He's nice. Fucking brilliant. We'll steal some of his shit
is
off
that,
YouTube.
Is that another rapper? Or?
Yeah, Little Dicky's a rapper.
No, I meant brilliant. It was never mind.
Oh, so you made a bad joke.
Yeah.
I blame video games.
Yeah, you failed that check.
You should.
You failed your joke, Jim.
I blame it on being...
so, you failed I mean, your joke,
I blame it on being a dad.
You blame it on being a dad. I got him, too. So Dungeons & Dragons, LARPing, I mean, it all got a bad rap, and it steered me away. So I didn't get to experience it till later in life, and I put a lot of money... To say that it steered a lot of other people away from it too,
which you know when I was a kid I had a neighbor who had all the books.
Was it Scotty?
And, you know, no, it wasn't Scotty, but Scotty was in my brother's group of tabletop people. That's how I got into Vampire the Masquerade.
Yeah, which is another cool game
that kind of stemmed from this game. You know, I would just walk across the street over to my buddy's house, and we had games that would go on for freaking months and months.
Yeah, that was the cool thing about
it. And we would play all the fucking time.
That was a cool thing about D&D, too, is that you would be able to... A big lure to it, you know, as far as the hype went, was you could play a game for 10 fucking years.
And throughout the course of that game, you may very well punch your best friend in the face.
Yeah.
It's just a thing. It's a thing that happens.
It's kind of like Vegas. What happens in Vegas.
I can't wait to talk about our experiences.
Oh, yeah. No. I wanted to slap the shit out of you several times.
on that note.
This guy's not a fucking team player.
On that note.
Character's not. I very much am. I love you to death.
Maybe we should take a break.
But you're still a cocksucker.
Eat all of the dicks, JD. You guys are just mad I had Chick-fil-A and Dungeons and Dragons for lunch and shit growing up as kids.
Dungeons and Dragons for lunch isn't nearly as impressive.
Yeah, it was just Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
And I scoffed at the kids playing Dungeons and Dragons who I actually thought were cool.
What a cocksucker.
Right? All right. Well, we have to break.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, is there anything that you guys feel that we left out?
We left out my childhood experience with it for the most part, but it's okay.
Well, go ahead, dude. Fuck it.
Keep going.
No, there's really not much to it.
Our name's on the goddamn banner.
I played it a lot, and I got angry at people, and, you know, faces were punched, and, you know, and things were said.
No one died.
And then everything was forgotten, and then we got together and rolled dice and acted like nerds the next day. It was great.
And no one died.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody died.
Or possessed.
No. Some people got slapped around and punched a couple of times, but, you know, I think I came at a guy with a stick once.
Whoa. Don't let that out.
Were you LARPing?
No.
Were you listening to Marilyn Manson?
This was just a genuine fight that stemmed from a D&D game.
Yes!
You're feeding the stereotype. Stop
it. I still have a scar on my hand from a D&D fight.
Nice.
From a D&D fight where I don't remember the exact instances that led up to it, but I remember something happened in the game that pissed me off so much that I punched the guy in the face and his braces cut a gash into my hand that's still there to this day.
You need to do with braces?
Yeah.
I fucked it. You know, like I had braces. If you get punched in the mouth, I mean, you've got like just chains of metal cutting all of your gums and it hurts, man.
Yeah, at the time I didn't give a damn. I apologized later though.
Like 6 years later. Hey dude, remember that time?
No. It was quicker than that.
Did you send him a
I had to be over there for the next game, man. No.
It's fucking great.
And that's the joy of D&D. So we should take a break, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do that. So, what's your name?
I'm JD.
And what's your name?
I'm Bulldog.
I'm Willis. And this is how it stacks.
This is how it stacks.
And this is an ad break.
Get it back. Ooh, 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 ooh.
I want to give a big thank you to Modern Ensemble Music in Daphne, Alabama. These guys were gracious enough to have us in here to record our show, and I want to give a shout out to them and what they do. They teach music lessons for all ages that specialize in rock and jazz of all various types of instruments. So if you want to get educated, get your music on, get in touch with Modern Ensemble Music. That's modernensemblemusic.com.
Get musicated.
Hey everybody, I want to take a second to remind you that we're a part of a larger network called the Geek.io Media Network. You heard CJ at the top of the show mention the Patreon. Basically, it is a way of supporting the entire network on a monthly basis. You pick the price. If you think we're worth 50 cents a month, give us 50 cents. So take a look over at patreon.com/geek.io and support the whole network. We appreciate it.
Hi, this is JD. You know me from How It Stacks and other popular things that haven't quite caught on yet. But something that has caught on, that would be Think Geek. And everybody loves Think Geek because you can get Han Solo ice cubes, Daleks, sonic screwdrivers. Hell, I'm drinking a screwdriver now, but only because, you know, I love Think Geek. And you can get all of those things except for, you know, a screwdriver at geek-io.net/thinkgeek. And once again, I'm JD from How It Stacks and other things.
Bulldog, bring us in.
We're gonna wait for you.
That's right, people. For those of you listening, we're not gonna say anything until Bulldog brings us in.
It's a good thing I know how to edit.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing shit.
Let me go look up the last episode and see how this is done. And we're back.
There
this
is
how it stacks. I'm Bulldog.
And I'm Willis.
And I'm JD, and just damn proud.
Yeah.
Damn proud. See, that's what
happens. Got a little bit of a chub.
I get why women hold out sex now. Like I was like, so much more glorious once you just conform to what we want.
That's wrong on so many levels.
So, Dungeons and Dragons, and we can finally talk about this shit as adults and the facts behind it and the research we've done and playing the actual game and shit. So let's begin with some research. All right, so, well, are we doing new facts or new research? Because I know you still got some facts.
I don't really have a lot of facts.
Did we get a definitive release of when it first came out?
I believe it was 1977.
Okay.
That was when the two guys who made it split.
I don't know what they split over.
1977, the game was split into two branches, so 1974, first published.
Shit.
Old game. Yeah.
I actually...
Originally designed by Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson.
Praise their name.
TSR, Tactical Studies Rules, Inc.
Praise their names. So Dungeons & Dragons as an adult, and some basic info. We covered Pensacon this year. I did the game room, and I forget the gentleman's name, but I sat down with him. He'd been playing Dungeons & Dragons, I think, since, like, the fucking 80s. Like, I'll have to go back to the actual, like, that episode and see the details on it. But he had played every... I get nervous and twitchy, so I play with shit. So if you guys listen at home, hear funky noises coming from, you know, JD, it's because I'm messing with my microphone as I speak.
Unfortunately, there's no way to tell where it's coming from, so all they hear is...
Well, that's you. That's you...
Yeah, that's me. But every other time is JD.
Yeah.
So just
keep
that in mind.
Don't point fingers at me.
I'm not. I'm literally blaming you.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
What you can be sure of is that it's not me because I'm a goddamn professional.
I am an anxious little bastard who just had some coffee. So, yeah. Anyway, he's been playing it forever, and in doing so, he's played. So D&D is ever expanding, ever growing, ever changing to stay with modern times and the changing in gaming and players' needs and demands. And so he's played in Generation 1, Generation 2, Generation 3, Generation 3, 4, 5, Generation 4, Generation 5, I mean, all of those. And for those who don't know what that means is each time there's a new generation of books and rules and changes to the game, you have to relearn the entire game. So could you imagine picking up like Skyrim, playing it for, let's say, you know, 60 hours, and then picking up Skyrim 2.0 and having to relearn everything again and then play it again, and then three comes. I mean, you get the,
you mean
the
like,
idea.
You mean like playing Halo, and then Halo 2, and then Halo 3?
No, because those are the same. They're based off of the same premise without very different
controls. But then the pistol, for instance, completely different from each game. It's like,
yeah, because they're like, we fucked it up, and then we made it, you know.
We tried to make it better, but it actually went too far. So then in the next revision, we made another change.
Yeah, by the way, playing Halo 1, the Combat Evolved Remastered, with the pistol again is so cool.
You mean the sniper 50 caliber pistol?
Yeah, that fucking
so
gun,
I count 11 different versions of this game.
That's because of the point revisions, like 3.5 and 3.
Revisions. Yeah, okay. There's original D&D basic set, first version, AD&D, which is the earliest I've ever heard anybody play. That's the one that came out in 77. D&D basic set, second version, D&D basic set, third version, AD&D second edition, where they took out all of the stuff that was scaring the Christians. They took the boobs off of some of the monsters. They didn't refer to anything as demons. Stuff like that, you know, stuff to try and help with the backlash. Then there was D&D Rules Cyclopedia. I'm not familiar with that. Third edition came out in 2000. 3.5, which is what we played, it came out in 2003. Fourth edition came out in 2008, and everybody hated it. And the fifth edition just came out in 2014, and by all accounts, it's supposed to be pretty great.
It's actually...
if you go to look for any character sheets or anything else online for your Android or iOS device, you are most likely going to find version 5.
So,
either version 5 or version 3.5.
There are very few 3.5s, at least, on Android. On Android, there are very few.
It's outdated. It's just the biggest thing.
At 12 years old, maybe a little bit.
One of the cool takeaways from D&D that I notice as an adult is if you play D&D, chances are you're gonna enjoy yourself. Chances.
It depends on a lot of factors.
Vicky didn't have a great time with it. It depends. She seemed like she was warming up the last time we played.
She was warming up to it last time we played because me and her were paired up, and I gathered from playing Vampire with her and kind of what she likes to do.
She's a story girl.
Yeah, fine. I'm cool with that. Oh, yeah. But whether or not you enjoy a game of Dungeons & Dragons, it revolves around how good the DM or the storyteller is, how good the players are, how good the story that DM makes is. There's a thousand fucking things that can go wrong with a D&D game. Yeah, if a great D&D game is fantastic, it's fantastic. But there's a lot of things that can fuck it up.
Yeah, and I think what's cool is D&D is so polarizing to some extent that if you love it, you will play it your entire life. You know, I mean, there's stories like Vin Diesel is an avid D&D player. I mean, the guy that I met at Pensacon, had been playing for decades. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's...
I want to think Vin Diesel's got a character he's been using for like 10 or 20 years.
Yeah, he's got to be like a 20-plus level character.
Oh, God, yeah, he's a god.
Yeah, he has to be.
Yeah.
It's Vin Diesel.
Yeah, right?
You know?
At least he's good at something.
Exactly.
Jeez.
I mean, the game itself is state to where it will forever be what you want it to be. It's not like you don't have a panel of writers coming in and writing the game. There are stories that they do. There's like side quests and missions that you can buy that are like...
There are expansion packs. That's probably a good...
They're not necessarily expansions. They're just side quests.
There are campaigns that you can buy.
Yes.
You run the characters through that campaign.
Yeah, it's pre-generated quests.
Yeah, yeah. The main Geek.io... show for the network is doing an occasional, it's not every week, but it's a Geek.io specials. The Mana Pool is what the name of the those episodes are, and they're going through I can't remember the name of this, and I'm gonna get so much flack in about 4 days when we release this. I can't remember the name of the campaign. Crap.
Okay,
I might go back and edit this in.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Probably not. Hey, CJ, hit us up on Twitter and remind us what it is. I can't remember the name of the campaign. And yes, I do remember the fact that
Lord of Schmargerstedt.
No, I...
The Jeweled Crystal.
It's a current one that came up pretty recently. Anyway.
That's cool. Who's all playing?
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. All right, so Dungeons & Dragons as an adult.
Well answered. Well put.
I think what's neat is when you play D&D, it gets you out of your comfort zone. You know, if you truly try and get into the game and enjoy for what it is, you know, you created a character and you're attached to it. I mean, hell, a guy who played in our group this past week had never played Dungeons & Dragons before, and when he came to the table, he had a 3 to 4 page backstory on his character.
Nice.
Backstory.
Which guy? Characters. It was one of the two guys that went with you.
He was the medic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Medic.
He wasn't a medic. He's like a healer. The monk. Not that he wasn't the monk. Yeah, he wasn't the monk. He was like the healer guy in the robes.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I convinced him to come with me because I need a healer where I'm going.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We're actually we're live. We're talking about the campaign. Anyway. Right? Yeah, but what I think is vastly, society as a whole doesn't really look well on D&D, and it's kind of upsetting because at its core, the game, it's whatever you want it to be. You know?
Yeah, it's all imagination.
Yeah, and I think people miss that, man.
And that's another thing is, and this was one of the coolest things that I liked about Vampire the Masquerade. Was the very first thing that's in the core rule book is what they call the golden rule. And it's any rule that's in the book can be thrown out for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to make the story better.
And I think that's huge. I mean, as a player, you want to feel freedom. You want to feel that your choices impact the story. And sometimes, and it just sounds weird, but like sometimes the rules don't allow that. So as a person who wants a good story, you bend it a little bit, or you allow that skill check to pass when it should have failed. Yeah. Or you and those things, and they're so important to the story.
Yeah.
You know, into the game, into the feel, into the atmosphere. I mean. Yeah, the only thing that I can think of is like when I was doing improv shows and I would host, you felt the audience, right? And it's I don't know how to describe it, but I could feel their anticipation. I could feel where they were at in the jokes. I could feel where they were at in the show, if they were on a high, if they were on a low, what needed to happen on my side for the performers to do to keep it going. And as a storyteller, that's huge because if you can feel that from your players, then you can dictate how the story should go, and you can allow the bends to the rules to create a much deeper, rich, better experience.
But all of that depends on not only having a good game master, DM, whatever, having players who feel the same way, because one player who just doesn't give a shit can ruin it for everybody else who's playing the game.
Completely agree.
One player who gives way too much of a shit can ruin the same game for everybody involved.
Yep.
It's one of those things where
I have been both of those players.
In the course of our game.
I really got the feeling that he was speaking from experience.
When I play, I do try to take on the role of the character, and I get like super fucking into it, you know. But in the same token, I try and like at least have a little bit of fun. I try and take it serious to an extent of like, you know, I'm playing in this world. These things are happening, and sometimes that's not reciprocated by the party. Otherwise, sometimes it is. It just depends on what we're doing in that actual moment.
Yeah.
Again, I think there's some backstory there.
Well, I mean, Gabe and I, we've had some cool adventures, and we've had some ones where we've butted heads. Our characters are very different in the sense of what they do, how they interact. You know, I don't think anything that's ever been personal between Gabe and I.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. It's just, you know, my character is a lot like me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really write a lot of backstory. And your character is a giant tool.
So my character is a druid who I mean, he lives and breathes for the wilderness and the world that involves and entails, right?
Fucking tree-hugging hippie.
He is. And in his world, he's become a kind of a caretaker, not a caretaker, but he's become involved with this little town where he does trading and things like that. Just
what do you call it when you get wood for trees?
So Woody's just too easy of a joke.
Yeah, I know, right?
Think of anything else off the top of my head, though. Woody, a stiffy, a sticky.
is it still just morning wood?
A twiggy, morning wood.
You still get
a splinter?
I don't know.
And so my character in the game is very much like he's all about the wood. He does what he does to please his deity. Oh, that was good. Oh, you were. That was almost spit worthy.
We almost had a wet microphone.
Well done. Oh man,
nice.
Out of context. And so, and my character doesn't want to.
There's this
epic war taking place in this game, and my character doesn't want to be involved with it. And because he doesn't care about politics and battles and
who's in charge. A peace loving.
Well, then what's the fucking point of playing the game?
That's his character. Yeah. He gets drawn into it. He's unwillingly a participant in it. And then once he gets involved in it, I mean he's discovered he's actually he can fight.
All I'm saying is it's irritating to drag you kicking and screaming into things.
I get it. Give him a chance. His personality is changing as the game changes.
That's what the cards that life deals you.
He's dealt these hands and he's played them to the best of his ability. Yes, it's cost him some friends in the game.
And
that's just who
he is.
Almost
in real life.
Almost real life, yes. There were some times that Gabe's left the house at like 4 a.m. when we're done, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever going to see him again. You know?
This game absolutely can ruin friendships.
It can.
It's a risk you take when you play Dungeons and Dragons with someone.
I have a cool story. That I had when my first experience with D&D is I often couldn't make every game. And because I couldn't make every game, my character would get punished. I'd end up in jail or something.
Yeah. I have no idea where my character is right now.
You're in some town. I don't fucking know.
You only played twice.
I have no idea. I have no idea where... Vashta Narada. Doctor Who reference. I have no idea where
you're a halfling. Yeah, you're basically Vicky's character, Lumeria, I think is her name.
No, her name's something close to hers. It's like Victoria.
Is it? Okay. Anyway, she has this medallion that opens up portals to other cities. It's basically like fast travel.
Okay.
Yeah. And you guys are in that portal right now, or you were. The city's now safe, so hey, surprise, spoilers.
Yeah.
But that was our character. Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
And it's only been sacked four times while you've been in there.
So pissed
You didn't save any of my family, but thanks.
No, we didn't.
I was so pissed
at Nick for that shit. Oh my gosh! I think
every time we would leave the city where we started, random groups of bandits would come into the fucking city and just rape and pillage all over the goddamn place and tear it down to the point where at one point I had to stop the game and say, "Look, this is a big war, right? We're not the only ones fighting, right? Someone else is doing this stuff, right?" and the look on his face when we got to that point, it was just like, they just suck.
He was evidently like, because we were vocally pissed.
Yeah.
Because we had played like 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, we had gone all around the map and gone through all these cities and done all this shit.
And we come back and our hometown is fucked up again. And we're literally like, is there a goddamn point to this? I mean,
every time we left the city, it got attacked.
I was like, what is the point of this now? I was like, there's no... We have to do the same thing every time we come back. Like, what is the fucking point? He's like, well, if you guys don't like, you can make up your own decision. I was like, that's not how the game's played. I was like, God damn it. And, you know, I mean,
like, what is this, Assassin's Creed 1?
Yeah, we obviously, as a player.
Nicely done.
Same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
As a player, you don't see the overall story. So I mean, that was the frustration that we had.
You should have plead to the gods and found out.
So what we did,
it's actually a solid point. Yeah. JD does that shit in every fucking game,
every game,
every fucking game.
I pray to my gods because I'm going.
Yes, and last time we played, he got all super pissy because they took something he offered them.
Yeah, no, I didn't offer it to him at all. I didn't offer it. There was not an offering.
I'm sorry. You leave 2 severed dragon heads out and then pray to the gods. You can't get pissy when they disappear.
I can too.
You're about to leave town, and you're like, okay, like for well, real, I, for I, real, guys.
I fucked with him.
Please don't let anything bad happen
him,
to the
like,
town
my
again.
My plan is to like, I was going to travel to the neighboring cities and use the heads of our fallen foes to rally the troops to support us in this war.
Yeah.
And he took them from me. So I
well, you didn't
DM
mention
fighting.
You didn't mention which heads of fallen foes. You just well, said.
But anyway, I mean,
he's just got a wagon full of decapitated heads.
Oh my god!
Just,
like he doesn't like if he just carries comes with to him. The point where I have to kill you, I'm going to like my fucking giant wolf will pretty much like ruin your day.
And that's the other thing is he's not real big on asking questions. It's pretty much murder him, take their stuff, and move on to the next person we need to murder.
Like one of the two times I played was like some dude in the middle of town. You're like. We got this. Wait. And Nick was like, what the hell are you guys doing? You're not going to get out of this. He can kill all of you. Like, all of you can attack, and you'll all die.
Well, actually, I was talking to him about that, and he ran through the... Because I missed the very first game.
Yeah, you did, actually.
And he ran through that battle situation that you guys did with a buddy of his that he plays with online, and his buddy was able to take it down.
Oh wow!
As a level one, he found a way to do it, and even Nick was like, "That kind of screws up the story."
That's not supposed to happen.
You shouldn't have been able to do that. Yeah,
and that's part like there's a and that's because back to my original story. You know, my first experience with D&D is I was locked up in prison and I had no weapons. I had found a shovel, and because of my roles. I was able to destroy an entire goblin encampment with a shovel, and it became the shovel of justice. And I actually like had it like masterworked, and it became such a thing with my group of friends is that somebody went out and bought me a shovel for Christmas and engraved it, the shovel of justice.
Nice.
Yeah, my ex broke it.
Actually, you know, that might be kind of fun. Next time I roll a character for D&D, I think I'm going to make Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight would be great.
Yeah, I'm going to make Shovel
fucking
Knight.
Fucking brilliant. But so dice rolls is huge. This game is very much like any other dice game, except the dice in this game are fucking ridiculous. So there's skill checks, and we didn't talk about that.
Yeah. There's, well, we touched on it briefly when you were trying to convince us of your point before the break.
There's just too much to cover for this. That's why, I mean,
too much stuff to really cover on it.
Each version has hundreds of pages of strategy and rules and spells you can cast. It just there's no way we could cover this in one episode. So
I think the basic point is this: is if you want to do something in D&D, it usually involves a check, which is basically like can you do it type dice roll. You roll your dice. If it's a certain number better than the DM has chosen, you can do that action or whatever it is.
Yeah,
is a skill check and. And I suck at them in the game, so I've made my stats ridiculously buffed, so I can't.
That's one of my beefs with D&D as opposed to like the World of Darkness games like Vampire.
I think the Vampire is
the dice
system.
The dice situation in Vampire is it's way simpler, way more elegant.
Yeah, it very much is.
The GM or in that game it's called the storyteller. Sets a difficulty, only use 10-sided dice. You know, say you're gonna try to talk somebody out of something. There's a difficulty for that. You roll a set number of D10s based on how many dots you have in those skills, and then the number of those D10s that land on that target number or above it indicate how well you succeeded at something.
Okay.
As opposed to using a D20 for this, or a four-sided die for this, or a six-sided die for this, or two 10-sided dies for this, and a 12-sided die for this. You know, there's D&D was, and that's something that I looked into when I started buying stuff to run my Vampire campaign, was that this stuff is designed to sell. Not even really to sell books, because you can find the information from the books online pretty easily.
Right.
It's designed to sell dice.
Yep.
This game is designed to sell dice. Dice have to be the highest profit margin small item like that. The profit margins on those things have to be ridiculous.
Dude, I
would imagine it takes probably $2.50 worth of plastic to make a set of Dungeons & Dragons dice. That's a D4, a D6, a D10, a D8, a D12,
percentage
and
die.
A D20.
The percentage die is a D10.
Yeah, so there's two D10s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, you know, and so 6-7 dice, all made out of plastic.
Yeah.
Cost you like $15.
Yep. No,
it's ridiculous.
That's the low end of the spectrum. Nick has a metal sculpted dice that are pretty much 3D printed.
Yeah.
And they were, I priced some for Vicky for something. I think it was her birthday or an anniversary gift or something. And it was like $100.
Yes.
For a set of 20-sided dice.
There's
right?
no bling in D&D. Yeah. And there's no fucking bling in D&D.
So I ordered a pair and it was like, they were $30. This 3D printed dice. I mean, like, it was nuts, dude. I mean, the margin there is ridiculous. But I think that we should actually probably go to Stack in the show.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, let's see. I tell you what, I'm going to roll a die. This is a skill check. And this will determine who has to stack it first if the screen will load. I'm going to.
No, I thought this was going to be if we stack it right now. So you.
What? All right, Jared, you have a... Okay, I set a difficulty. I need you to roll it out.
We'll just roll a D3, okay? 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Okay, that's a 4. Doesn't work. Okay, 1. You're first.
I'm first. From what I remember as a kid, which was nothing but at least the hype around it, I enjoyed playing. It was only 2 rounds, but I actually enjoyed playing. I wish I had time to play more.
I wasn't expecting that. I didn't think you really enjoyed it that much.
I did. The problem is I couldn't get terribly into it because I knew I wouldn't have the time to invest into it that I wanted to.
It does make it more difficult.
I did enjoy it, and not just like I'm hanging out with some friends and rolling some dice. It was a fun game. It was nice to get into a character that you could try to have some fun with, but the fact that I could only play 2 5-hour sessions or whatever
for several hours. Yeah. When we do play, especially if it's just me, John, and the DM,
right?
Then
we play the fuck.
Yeah, you. We'll play until
we played for 5 hours or so. Each
pretty
time.
Much until JD calls it.
Yeah, I think we played for about 5
which
hours.
Which is usually
each time
when
there.
Like Vicky comes up at 4 in the morning. She's like, "You still fucking playing?" I'm like, "Okay, we're calling it."
Yeah,
you know, time to go, guys.
Well, because we usually play on a Saturday night, which right. you know, I mean, nobody in this room. I mean, it's you go to church in the morning, so I mean, you would be the one who was suffering. I have two kids. Well, we both have two kids now, so it does make it a little more like, oh fuck.
Hey, you guys both have newborns. You're not sleeping at 4 o'clock in the morning anyway.
Not anymore. Not since the time changed,
dude. Oh,
right.
Babies don't understand time change.
Nope.
Oh yeah.
No. Nope. No.
Ollie's up at like 7 o'clock now. Like, what's up, bitches? How we doing,
dude? 4:30 this morning.
Oh yeah.
Because he normally gets up around 5:30, or he normally does.
Ollie's up at 5 now.
Today at 6, I was trying to calm him down. 6 p.m. Tonight. I was like. Burns. I was like, trying to calm him down. I was like, dude, I don't. I was like, fine, I'll just let you sit in my lap and cry. Like, you don't want me to hold you and walk. You don't want me to sit down. Nothing. And then Alicia finally realized, she's like, oh crap, the time change today. It's like 7 for him. He's hungry. We're like, whoops, my bad, dude. Yeah, right. Like, we're all on like digital time. It ain't like it's not. Oops, my bad.
So
it stacks. Like I said, I don't have anything to go off of from childhood memory, but. Going off of everyone's hype and how much fun they had, and at least in the circles of friends that I knew that played and could enjoy it or should enjoy it, it was actually a lot of fun. I sadly don't have enough effort or don't have enough time to put in the effort to actually play it properly.
We could always do it. We'd like a one-off or something for you to play. But
well, I mean, my character's still alive, sitting in the city, so you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a level three or whatever it is.
Yeah, which is right about the level of the new people who just started playing with us.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't kill off.
And we're split up right now, but me and Vicky are still in the city.
We're split up now. I mean, my character, like, I mean, I've got objectives, but he'll be back. And Nick didn't like the fact that we're split up, so.
No, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
he'll steer us back together.
That right there, like, this is from the prop from the TV show. It's really cool. They're little business cards for their fake little group.
Neat.
Yeah, it is kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody listening to you has any idea what the fuck you're talking about.
It's a business card. Anyway, I forgot about that. I'm sorry. I feel like half the time when we do this show, I feel like it's just us chilling. With like microphones.
Like, hey, man, look at this thing. Isn't this neat?
Ignore the 3 giant microphone stands.
Yeah, right?
That was my fault. Okay, I guess I'll go next.
What a dick.
So this game, it definitely stacks. I think that was pretty evident. But what makes this a unique stackage for me is this is one of the rare things that I wish, like I could go back and do as a kid. Because a lot of the people that I know that have played it throughout their lives have just, it's just, it's cool story after cool story. And the best thing about D&D that we've not touched on right now is
you get better at math.
Well, yes, but it's such a community building game, and it really drives like the multiplayer, the co-op, the things home, man. Like I feel because we've played D&D, it brought me and Gabe closer together. I mean, it's made Nick and I closer together. You know, I'm excited about the new people joining our group to play. It's something we look forward to. Hell, dude, honestly, the best part about D&D for me are the outside like conversations, you know? Like, you know, Gabe will step out to have a cigarette, and we all go outside, and we're like, dude, did you see my character did this? Your character did that? That's fucking great. Well, dude, next time my character casts this spell. And, dude, that's the shit that makes D&D great for me. It's not, I mean...
It's a strategy junkies game.
Yeah, it's so much fun. That's the fun shit of it. And, dude, I love, like, the camaraderie, the fact that, like, we can get together and sit down and play a game for 6-7 hours and we don't talk about the bills, we don't talk about, you know, shit going on at work, and it's just like us having a good time, or you know, you with your buddies having a good time. That's what makes D&D special. It is that, you know, and totally being engulfed in that aspect of it for me. So that it stacks. I wish I could have gone. I could go back and convince younger JD to play it because I would love to have those memories and share them. But man, I every time that I've sat down to play a tabletop RPG as an adult, I have had a blast. Vampire included, your story. So, but yeah, man, it stacks. Not for the reasons I thought it would. Yeah. For the social side of it, I think is what makes it really, really cool.
This is one of those topics that I was, you know, it's hard to say. This is one of those ones that kind of defines the premise of this show for me, because it holds up just as well to me as it did when to my memories of it. It absolutely holds up to it. It doesn't exceed them. It doesn't fall short of them. It is what it is. It is what it always has been. And that at times can be fucking infuriating, but it is what it is, and it is what you make of it. And
that's a good point.
And I think Dungeons and Dragons is a great game. I think there are other tabletop games that have come out since that are better games.
Yep.
But none of them feel as cozy as D&D does, because it's so well established.
It's the girl next door versus the hot chicken moving down the street.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it's funny that you're using the analogies of pretty girls to describe Dungeons and Dragons, but sure.
Well, they're in both those scenarios, you usually don't end up with them in the long run. So it's
yeah, that's great.
So you can still go home and play D&D. It's fine.
Yeah. It's a great game. It's so well established and so firmly rooted in popular culture that it's easier to get people to sign on to play D&D than it is to get them to sign on and play like Call of Cthulhu or Vampire the Masquerade or Champions or Forgotten Realms or any of the other big franchise tabletop role-playing games. And, you know, because of that, I will say it sucks that the located game is the one that's the easiest to get people to sign on for just based on name recognition.
Yeah.
But it's tabletop RPGs are fun. And if you're the kind of person who likes that, then you'll dig D&D.
Have you guys played Munchkins or Munchkin?
No, but I've heard it's awesome.
I've heard it's great.
Amazing.
Is it?
Yes. I think because it's not
Nick had it. But
if I recall correctly, it's not a like it's a one and done type thing. It's not an ongoing campaign.
Yeah,
we should sit down and play it one time. It's actually a lot of fun.
Dude, we were actually talking about doing a board games episode, weren't we? Or well, Munchkin's not a board game.
Yeah, right? I mean we've got
it's a card game.
It's a card game.
What initially sparked Depew Nerd Night was the concept of each week playing a different board game. Because there's so many kick-ass board games out now. Like, I'm looking at one right now that's called, like, Infected. You know, okay. But there's just these, and it grew from that to I met Nick, and then it became RPGs and stories, and I mean, and eventually we'll get to the point.
And we started doing I thought the big kickoff really was when we sat around and started playing Artemis, which we need to do again.
Yes, oh my
we
do. God, Artemis! Actually, that's a good. You know what we need to do is we'll play another D&D, maybe two or three, and then break and do some Artemis.
Okay.
I mean, we still got the license, you know.
Ever, that's permanent. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So I bought the shit, so I might as well.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's on all my shit.
Yeah. Artemis is great. For those, Artemis
matter of fact, I was telling some of the guys up here at the school about it.
It's so much fun.
And they all sounded super excited to give it a shot, too.
We could do it here, actually. It'd be great.
Our internet here is freaking fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's all local anyway. Doesn't matter.
Is it?
Yeah, it's all local.
Cool.
Yeah, Artemis,
so those of you guys who don't know what we're talking about, it's a spaceship bridge simulator.
It literally takes it's a complete ripoff of Star Trek.
Yeah,
they make no qualms about it. But it's essentially the ripping
there's
off
even,
the
there's
roles.
Even a skin where you can rip off Star Trek's sound effects.
Yes, but basically you take over each role in the bridge. So the captain, the helm officer, weapons, communications, and each person plays that role, and that's the only role they're supposed to play if you have enough characters.
Yeah.
But it's literally the captain has to say communications, like talk to ship D-32. Actually, that's a space station. But wow. Anyway,
I'm glad you remembered that.
Yeah, deep space. It's a deep space station.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I shouldn't know. There's a whole role playing community based on Artemis that I wish I was off on Saturdays for. Oh,
really?
You are though. Oh, I need to tell you guys. Oh, they play every Saturday at 2:30. It's worldwide. It's a worldwide.
You know, I think you sent me a link to that, and it sounded really fucking cool.
You should look into it.
Yeah.
I played when I was off on Saturday, and it was they're into it because they're doing it role playing.
Yeah, no, and like you actually have a rank in this military.
But they're very open to new people. And like if they've got a new person, they will split ships to make sure they have enough ships for everyone to play.
That's awesome.
It's not like sorry, it's your first week. We don't have enough ships, so see you next week. Sorry. Nah. They're like the main guy is like, hey, we've got a new dude. Captain so and so. Or no, it would be like Lieutenant so-and-so, break off, you're going to be captain of ship, you know, the Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll just command everybody, pull them apart, put them in new
ships.
And
they do all this stuff like on Skype?
TeamSpeak, I think is what they were using.
Dude, sounds it's so fucking great.
Yeah, no, it'd be a blast.
I wish I was off on Saturdays.
As you play within this organization,
you rank up. You eventually get your own ship. Now, all of this is in-game,
permanence. I think it goes beyond that. Like, there's a commander-in-chief.
Yes, that's Xavier.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I really shouldn't know this because I played once, but I got infatuated with the idea of how serious they took playing this game.
Yeah.
Because once you start playing and you read the rules, oh my gosh, it gets so deep. You can jump in and play like we did, but if you actually read the rules, it gets incredibly complicated.
Oh yeah.
Holy crap. Anyway, this is not Artemis, but my gosh, we need to play again. Dungeons and Dragons. That was wait, hold on. That was a stack in a stack.
Stack.
You stacked it. Okay.
It's
triple, brother.
You had me worried there for a second because you kept going, it reminds me a lot of my kid, but you just kept going.
Well,
where is he going to go with this?
No. It fucking stacks. It stacks
like
a motherfucker.
We rolled a crit 20 on that.
That was a natural 20. That was a natural 20.
Way to go. So that's a wrap for the D&D episode, fellas.
Yep.
So social networks us.
Yeah. Facebooks us, Twitters us, Instagrams us.
Instagrams, we do all that stuff, guys. Yeah. Those things. I'm JD.
I'm Willis.
I'm Bulldog. And this is how it stacks.
Ah, he got it.
He did.
he beat you to it.
God damn, man. It's like, it's great, man.
Don't let him off the leash.
Don't quit your day job.
Ah, you see what I did there? See what I did there?
All right.
You let him off the leash. Yeah.
Thank you guys for listening. Yeah. First half, though, he's solid.
I am dying.
Gonna have to wait, son.